And as I was praying about this message, you know, last Sunday we talked about Mother's Day, and we had this whole front here. We had about 18 or 12, 13 mothers. We was missing my wife. But, man, every year it seems like we've got the whole front here full of mothers. So thank God for mothers. And I didn't quite hit every note that I had, but I hit the point that I wanted to make, that God wanted to make. And that was more or less that God is for life. Amen. Mothers are the mothers. God, Adam named Adam Eve. See, they were one. They were Adam. And when God separated them and he formed Eve out of the dust of the ground and brought her to Adam, he said, "Whoa, man." And then Adam named her, like God gave all the creatures and everything for Adam. God didn't name the woman. God called her woman, Adam. Adam said, "That's now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called Eve, the mother of all living." Mothers, and the title of last week was Mothers Created for Others. See, they have a destiny. They have a womb. See, man brings a seed, but she brings the life. She gives life to it. Amen? She brings another life out of her body. And it's not her body, right? This is God's body, and there's two bodies. If you're a woman and you have conception, that's two bodies in there that are alive. Amen? They're alive. And God wants us to thrive and be alive. Hallelujah. I've heard that preached from my pastor who's 85 and talking about how he's not just going to live and live. He's going to be thriving and being alive. Amen? So today I was thinking, well, Kelsey, I might want to go back and maybe do part two. But then she took me out for my birthday, took and fed me. And came home, I kind of got lazy in the flesh and just kind of watched a movie with her because she likes to watch movies. She's always been the one you sit her down and watch Barney. I love you, you love me. We're a happy family with a great big hug and a kiss from me to you. See, I remember because I had to watch him with Kelsey because I was babysitting. Amen. I wasn't mama, but I was daddy home. And she loved Barney, the big purple dinosaur. It got a foundation in her talking about love. I love you. You love me. God loves us all as a called us family. So we watched a movie, and I just prayed. I said, "Lord, drop it in my, download it to me. I'm going to let my flesh rest." And he did. I woke up, and I didn't dream about what I was going to preach. I woke up and knew what I was going to go, what scriptures, and then it just started coming together. So he's the great orchestra. I just show up and just do this right here. Amen. Hey, if God, that anointing, it'll flow. You can do that and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. When God moves, things come alive. Come on. When he hasn't quit moving, he's moving. He's on the move. He's not being still. We're the ones that need to be still and let him move. Hallelujah. Let him move. Do what he says do and just let him move. Give him a voice. Give him a word so he can work on something. So today, I was thinking about, I still haven't really talked a little bit on end times, you know, Noah's time, you know, the days of Noah, you know, that's when there was none, no good thoughts, only in Noah. I mean, men's hearts were dark, full of evil. We're getting close to those days. And like, you know, like one preacher said, or one person was asking the preacher, said, "Y'all preachers, y'all always talk about Jesus is coming. Well, he's coming in your day. Well, when you were born, that's when your end days began. Because you've got a generation, you've got a time appointed that in this body, we're not living forever in this body unless Jesus comes by the rapture and then we change. But it's appointed for us once to die. But if Jesus comes by the rapture, we're going to be that'd be the generation that's changed just like that. Amen? So death doesn't mean you cease to exist. Death is a separation. We'll get into that a little bit later. So I was praying, "Lord, what do we want to talk about here?" Because I've been thinking about end times. And I spoke it Wednesday night, spoke it out, and I went back and read my notes that Kelsey's making on the computer. So if you can't make it on Wednesday nights, hit the live button, join the Facebook Live, and you can be there virtual and see all the good scriptures coming. But one thing I said was, and I said, "My God, that sounds good. Let's just talk about good times in the end times." Amen. What about some good times in the end times? Because, see, before I got born again, when they was talking about the moon turning to blood, and I was scared. Why? Because I didn't have Christ in me. I didn't have life in me. So I was all the time bondage to fear of death. But now I'm happy. I'm looking for him. I'm listening for that trumpet. So I'm going to determine, let's have some good times in the end times. Because people's had enough of bad news. They need to hear some good news. That you don't have to be just a sinner saved by grace. You need to know that you were a sinner. And when you got born again, God gave you his grace and he covered you. No longer are you a sin nature. You have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. That's good news. And he seals you. He guarantees you, the Holy Ghost seals you until the day Jesus returns and gives us that glorified body. But until, let's have some good times. You talk about Jesus, you can't stay in bad times. If you believe the one you're talking about is going to show up and help you. Amen. I can help you a little bit, but he can help you a lot of ways that I can't. He can heal your body. I can't. He can save your soul. I can't. But I'm here to tell you, he did. Amen. I'm just a voice that he's anointed and called. He called me. We sang the song, but he called me. And he breathed his spirit into me. And when he does that to you, don't think you might not be a preacher, but you're a witness. Amen. He's made you a witness, and he's given you the power to be that witness. Amen. So, scripture reference for me about good times and the end times, we might look briefly at some of these, or we might stay long. I don't know. Romans 8:16. And I love you, and I say amen in church, but let me just tell you, if you never said amen, I'm happy. Amen, because God has made me glad. He has made me glad. You know what I mean? Don't look to men for your happiness. Look to God for the joy. That's when you'll get strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Because there's people out there, they don't like you. They don't love you. They hate you. They're full of the devil. But they need to hear some good news, because if they don't get born again and get saved, their destiny is separation from God, which is called hell, H-E-L-L. And God don't want nobody going there. But we are limited. We've got a limited time when we're born on this earth to do what God's called us to do. And when he fills you with his spirit, you've got some good things to do. Amen. Some good work to do. Romans 8:16-17. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, himself. Now I change that itself because the King James says it's him. The Holy Spirit's not a it. He's a person. He's God, the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. If you're born again, you're going to show forth his spirit. You're going to bear witness. You're going to have joy, peace, love, joy. You're going to be loving people. That we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness that we're in the family. And if children, then we are heirs. Come on. We're heirs. Daddy's got a lot of stuff. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's a threefold cord. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and then you, and then me. We're in the family, Wanda. We're in God's family, in the kingdom of God. And we're supposed to be having good times. Jesus was anointed with joy above all his fellows. Why? Because he came from the Father. And in his presence, the Bible says, in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. That's what we need to be. I'm not talking about your flesh. Your flesh don't want to be happy. Because it's just the body. It's still under the curse. But on the inside, that's your spirit, man. You've got to speak to the body. Say, body, you're going to live long on this earth. You're going to be blessed. You're going to walk in the blessing of the Lord. You're going to walk in health. You're going to walk in divine mysteries being spoken to your mind from your spirit. And you're going to decree a thing like a king that we are. And see a thing. Not only is time to quit. It's time for us to be seeing what we've been decreeing. Amen. Amen. From the beginning. We're going back to the garden. Live on top of the world. It's time that we sing that song. That's a prophetic song. Hallelujah. It's time for the church to arise. Genesis 2:3. And if joint heirs with Christ, if so be we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. He was hated. That suffering, we ain't talking about. Jesus didn't have no sickness. Jesus didn't have no disease. Before he went to the cross, when he became sin, he became every curse of the law. It went on his body then, but before then, he was not sick, he was not poor, he was not sad, he was mad at the devil. Jesus had emotions like we do, but when he got mad, when they decapitated, Come on, there's some decapitation still going on in the world in the name of God. But it's not my God. It's not Jehovah God. It's other gods. And they cut your head off if you don't agree with them. They cut Jesus' cousin off. You know what he did? He went and started healing people. He started destroying the works of the devil. He didn't go protest the government, Caesar, whoever was, Pilate. He said, no, the Father said, go out there and start healing the blind. Open the eyes of the blind. Go take care of the poor. See, that's what we do. Good has always does good. When something's done evil to you, God's going to say, do something good. Amen? Yes. We're not living under the law. We're under grace. Yes. I said, we're under grace. Amen. Grace has took its place. Jesus fulfilled that law. So, did I tell you where we're going? Yeah, we finished Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. We're still in the beginning, Jim. We're going back to the basics. God says, stay in the basics. I remember hearing this story. Y'all might have heard it. I don't know, but I'll tell it again because it needs to be told sometimes. There was a new pastor came into a church. The deacons voted, you know. But, hey, if the deacons, they need to be full of the Holy Ghost because the church needs the pastor that God calls, not that men calls. Come on, get an amen. But those men, they full of the Holy Ghost, vote. They get the right man, right? That's the way God set it up. You got to have a godly board, amen. You don't want a board that, it's not going there. We got a good board here. You know what I mean? We ain't going to talk about that. What was I talking about? I got lost. Wait a minute. We're talking about Genesis, going back to the beginning, going back to the basics. Hallelujah. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be alive, to love one another, amen. To do what's right. Genesis 2, verses 3. Let me get there because I'm using my good electronic Bible. I've got some good commentaries by Brother Andrew Womack. Been in the ministry over 40-plus years, bringing fruit, loving God, loving people, destroying the works of the devil, destroying religion, tearing down mountains of religion. I'm talking about Andrew, AWMI, Karis Bible College, and there's a lot of other good ministers out here. Amen? Doing the work of the gospel, the good news. Genesis 2, let me quit talking and let my fingers do some walking here. Genesis 2 and verse 3. Now, I got a little bit of revelation, a little bit this morning, just on this, and I think it's good because it's from God. See, a lot of times we get to the sixth day, because when we were created, God created man, amen. I'm looking at God's creation on the sixth day out here. Adam, men, women. And then we just kind of forget about that seventh day, you know, because sometimes pride wants to be all about me. It's all about me. What God do on the sixth day? He created me. But that's a good creation. We talked about that last week. But on the seventh day, and God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it. He separated, set it apart from the sixth day, because that in it he had rested. Say rest. Don't say test. A lot of times we've got to take a test. Got no rest. Rest. From all his work which God created and made. Just a theological question. Do you think God was tired? That's a good answer. God was finished. I said he rested. Why? Everything was complete. Perfect. Couldn't get it no better. So he rested. He rested. To experience good times in the end times, we must enter into the seventh day, the rest. The rest of God that was created on the seventh day. Jim, what a lot does seven mean? Completion. Perfection. Hallelujah. You want me to tell you who that is? That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Perfection, completion. That's Jesus. He rested. It is Jesus. It's that new birth. When you get born again, you enter into the... Spiritually, I'm talking about spiritually now. You got to understand this. We enter into that rest. We cease from our works into whose works? Christ's work. He is the Sabbath. He is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is. It's the rest of God. It's completed. Amen? Now see, I'm seeing all kind of eyes and thoughts. I don't know what you're thinking. I'm not a psychiatrist. See, that's what the devil does. He manipulates and tries to control. See, the devil don't know what you know until you say it out of your mouth. And then he'll try to twist what you know. Especially what you know about God, the devil wants to twist it. But see, we need this rest that's in Christ, that's in Jesus. It's the new birth. It's being born again. That's the last, Jesus is the last Adam. Amen. He did it right. He did it perfect. See, Adam was innocent. He wasn't perfect. Adam wasn't perfect yet. You know, God created him, but Adam and Eve, they were innocent. They never knew evil. So Jesus, now somebody knows good and evil, and he's got to set the record straight. That was Christ Jesus, the one that remembered every time evil presented its face. Jesus said, it's written. It's written. Jesus pointed the devil back to what his father had said. No, that's death. Jesus said, no, I'm life. And he was tempted. Jesus was tempted in every area that we were, yet he sinned not. Hallelujah. And he did it as a man. Jesus did it as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. But Jesus didn't get anointed until he was 33, but he still lived a sinless life. He obeyed Mary and Joseph. We read the scripture this morning, children, obey your parents. Jesus had read that, and he did it. Amen? He did it. He was sinless. So when we get born again, we enter into the grace. Jesus was full of what? Grace and truth. He is the Word. Before his name was Jesus, it was the Word. Amen. He is the Word. And God never changes that name. He is the Word, and he never changes. Amen. So if we enter into that rest and get born again, our spirit is changed, is born again. Born from above. And the Holy Ghost seals us, and our spirit never changes. Amen? As he is, so are we in heaven. No, in this world. When you get born again, we enter into that rest. We cease from our works and enter into his works. The work of rest. Completion. You want to have good times in the end times? We got to rest. We got to learn to rest. In the promises of God. Rest doesn't mean we just sit around and twiddle our thumbs. Rest means we go to work. Amen. We work what God created. We work what he gave. We work to make sure it's in our life. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. But Jesus went about doing good, destroying the works of the devil. That's what we were created to do, was just love God. But then evil came. So now God said, I'm going to make a man that's going to destroy the works of evil. My man. The Son of God. Hallelujah, you're in the family. We're in the family because of Jesus, because of Christ. Christ in me, in you, the hope of glory. That one day we're going to be glorified. This body's going to be glorified. When I see him, when we see him, we've got to be changed into his image. When I see Jesus, we're going to be changed. Our whole mind, our whole body is going to be glorified. But not everybody has this hope. That's why I'm teaching. That's why we're here. We're gathering together to hear some good news so we can go. Be messengers of good news. Be carriers of good news. Amen. Of good news. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repent. Hallelujah. I heard some things that I didn't get happy about. People pointing out bad things I was doing. I knew it. I just needed a way out. I needed somebody to help me get out. Get out of that miry clay. And I heard some good news. You don't got to be there. Jesus has set you free. How do I do it? I'm glad you asked. Come to church, get filled with the Holy Ghost and power, and go. And God will help you. You got to get born again first. You got to come to Christ. You got to come to him as you are. Lost. You're born lost. You're born dead. But then we come to Christ, and he lights your candle. Amen. He takes your dead spirit that you inherited from, that we inherited from Adam when he sinned, and then Jesus comes in. Makes us alive. Hallelujah. And he don't leave. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. No matter what you see, Jesus, he said, it's more blessed Thomas. It's more, you're blessed, Thomas, because you see and believe. But Jesus said there's a greater blessing on those that believe and never see. That's believers. Man, that's faith. Everything that we see created from something that we can't physically see. That's what we lost. We lost our spiritual sight and started relying on our physical sight. And see, the devil is not a, he's not a spirit being. He's a spirit being, but he's lost his authority. He's a flesh devil. The only power he has is what we give him. In other words, don't give Barney no bullets. Because you see what Barney does with the bullet in the gun. He shoots himself in the foot because he doesn't understand how to use the equipment. Amen. But God loves Barney. Amen. God loves us. But the devil does not love God, and he does not love us. God didn't create the devil. He created Lucifer. Amen. Amen. The devil, pride was found in him. He became and he fathered it. But we're not going to talk about the devil today. We're going to talk about God. Amen. You need to know your enemy, but you don't need to be sleeping with the enemy. Come on. You don't need to know him that good. Because if you know God, you'll know that ain't right. That ain't good. And if it ain't good, it's not God. And this is the whole gospel that we got to preach in these end times, is we're looking for God, and that means we're looking for something good. And that means if it's good, it came from God. Hallelujah. So Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So Genesis, while you're right there, God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, set it apart, and he rested from all his work which he had done. He's the creator. And then let's go over, we're going to look at the generations of the heavens. After God did all these things, let's pop on over to Genesis chapter 3. I tell you what, no, just hang with me, Kelsey. We're going to kind of go down here a little bit through Genesis 2 verse 3. This talks about, as we come on down now, the generations of the heavens and the earth. See, there's a lot of time in here that's involved that really doesn't say, but it took a long time. It takes a while for Adam to name every creature that was on this earth. That takes some time. God don't want you to rush through things. When you name it, that's what it is. Sin is sin. Call it what it is. Grace is grace. Call that what it is. Grace destroys. You don't have to sin anymore. Grace gives you the power to live above sin. Amen. So when somebody says, well, I'm just, that's an excuse when they say, I'm just a sinner. No, if you called on Christ, you're no longer a sinner. You've been saved by the grace of God, which is a work of God himself. You just don't know who you are. Amen. You just know who that old sinner man used to be, but you need to show him Christ. Amen. So you got to crucify that flesh daily, not Sunday or Wednesday night. Amen. I got a weak amen on that one because I know I got flesh too. I'm not wearing nothing that you're not wearing. Amen. I got nakedness up here too. And it has to be clothed with the glory of God. Hallelujah. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed. I was ashamed before I got born again, but I'm not ashamed of this gospel because it's good news. Now, I'm ashamed if it's some bad news, but Jesus ain't bad news. He's good news. I said, if you're sick, health is good news. If you're dying, life is good news. Hallelujah. If you got cancer and somebody says, I'd like to anoint you in the name of the Lord Jesus, you be healed. That's good news. Don't say, well, you know. No, that's bad news. Don't think about it. Just believe it. It's when you start thinking, it's when you get in the enemy's camp we sung about. Well, we getting out of that camp. We taking back everything the devil stole from us. You got to do it by faith and by the words you speak out of your mouth. And if your words are not right, that means your heart's not right. That means what you put in, it's not right. But you can repent. Amen. You can change. Hallelujah. And just because you get born again don't mean you don't say something wrong. That's called you mess up. But Jesus said, confess up. And then go out and finish the work. Rest. Amen. The devil wants to condemn you. Jesus said, there's no condemnation to those that are. Just get back in Christ. Get out of condemnation. Because see, your heart, if you stay condemned, your heart will condemn you. And your faith won't work. Amen? Because faith worketh by what? Love. Condemnation don't bring love. It brings the law. You sorry old thing. That's the law. That's condemnation. That's the devil. And you don't need to give him, the devil, no space in your mind. your mind is not for sale. Hallelujah. Because it's not yours if you're born again. You have the mind of Christ and it's not for sale. The devil can't have it. It's no trespassing. Stick your sign up and say, no trespassing. I hope y'all are getting some good news. We're talking about having good times in the end times. So, Genesis, God had every plant, Genesis 5, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And why make it grow? There's no man to till it, to take care of it. Some people might say, God doesn't need us. Yeah, he wants us, and he needs us. He needs somebody with hands down there to work this garden, to bring forth the fruit thereof. Somebody's going to get hungry for long in here. Amen. Somebody, that chicken just didn't show up at Bojangles fried for you. It didn't come down from heaven, right? It's not called manna, it's called chicken. And I seen the steam flowing from Purdue chicken plant when I was coming in. Somebody's up early pressure cooking some chicken. Amen. God gave the chicken, but he don't throw it in the frying pot. Somebody got to pluck it, clean it, flour it, fry it, bless it, and eat it. He's left that up to us. Amen. Yeah. He makes good chickens. Come on, God makes good chickens. What came first, the chicken or the egg? God. A chicken with the egg in it. Amen. With the seed. Everything had it was there with the seed in it. God's not making no more chickens. He's resting. Amen. He says, enjoy them. Oh, this is going to be rough for those that... No. God said, he breathed into Adam, not the chicken. That you know what? Understand, that chicken's different. We're not in the chicken class. We're in the God class. It's okay to eat the chicken. Come on. God's going to make more chickens if he needs them in the by and by, but they're going to multiply on the earth. I don't matter how many chickens you eat, God's got enough down here on the earth. There are some birds that go extinct, but come on. Let's not get into all these things that don't make no sense. If we take God out of it, it don't make sense. Come on. Oh, gosh. We don't even need to go that way. We're talking about basics here. Of course, that is basics, common sense. Verse 7, Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living, speaking spirit. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. This is after the six-day creation here. Planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man. Did he say woman or man? Or what did he say? Did he say Adam and Eve, or did he just say man? So he put the man in the garden, whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord grow. So see, this is a different process. This is after the six-day creation. And out of this garden that he put him in, Adam watched things grow up out of the ground. Process. Adam needs to know the process, right? If you're going to be planting a seed, you need to know the process. If you're going to be having babies, you need to know the process. And God said you need to be married first. Amen. That's the process. And it'll happen without if you get it out of order, but that's not God's plan. That's not the blessing plan. His blessing. Amen. The full blessing. Do it God's way. I want the full blessing. You know, I had a young man. My daughter's getting married. Ruthie's getting married in November. And the young man came to me and asked for the blessing. He asked for my daughter's hand in marriage. That blessed me. That he came to me and asked. Amen. That was very respectful. I've been praying about that day, but now I had to talk about that blessing. You know, he took me out. He fed me first. That's really good. That's real good when he fed me, took care of me, and then he asked for the blessing. That's a smart man. I think Ruthie might have talked to him a little bit. But it was a blessing to talk to him and let him know what he's getting. I said, you're getting a precious gift here. This gift came from God, and she's been taught in the way of the Lord. And I said, and you need to know God. And I made sure he knows God. I said, because God needs to be a part of everything that you do. Amen. Amen. When you say I do, God needs to be a part of everything you do. Amen. That's all I'm going to say about that right now. Ruthie said yes to the dress. I'm not sure if y'all follow Facebook. You know, the tradition is nobody can see the bride in the dress until she comes down the aisle. But I said, can somebody tell me the price? Because I'll say, Jesus, you got mail. And I found half of the price. And you know what? I'm still going to have good days in the last days, even when it's payday. Pay the man for the dress. Amen? Because God clothes us. He said, don't focus on them things. Focus on me. Because in the blessing is everything that we need. Amen. We serve God, Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. His grace is sufficient for me. Hallelujah. So we're just going through Genesis here, going through the garden. God put Adam in the garden, and God had everything in the garden to grow, every tree that's pleasant for sight. See, there's some that was just pretty to look at. Maybe not had no, I mean, might not have been a pretty old apple, but it was just, you know, guys, you take your wife out, and she just looks at pretty things, and you could really care less, right? But to her, it's just pretty. Well, them's weeds out in the garden, them just weeds, but there's some pretty weeds, pretty purple weeds. Amen. You better say, yes, that's pretty. You better agree with her. So God created things that were pleasant to the sight and some good for food. The tree of life also. See, this is a different tree. Tree of life. They had to eat off of that tree. In the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out. Verse 10, a river went out of Eden to water the garden and it parted and became four heads. We're not going to get into that today. And then get on down to verse 15. And the Lord God took the man, put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. That means to work it. And the Lord God commands. Here's the first command. Everything's been good and great. When God created Adam, he said, everything up until Adam was good. And when he created Adam, he said, that's very good. Because we were created in God's image. And he said, that's very good. Now we got God on the earth. So he said, that's very good. And then he commanded the man, Adam, saying, of every tree of the garden that you've seen grow up here, this took some time, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat all these trees. And there's a lot of trees in that garden. When God, y'all think God, when he does a garden, it's a little old wee garden? Jack, you think it big, ain't you? It's a big garden, from sea to shining sea. I mean, when I sing a song, from sea to shining sea, there's a big garden. It's got trees, good fruit in it. But of the tree, now here's a but you need to listen to. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eatest thereof, you shall surely die. That means in dying, you shall die. In the Hebrew, that's what it says. Said it twice. Inquiring minds want to know, Deuteronomy, that's the second telling of the law. Listen, you got two ears, dying, you shall die, Adam. Command, right? Command from God. No suggestion here. I believe God's tone even changed a little bit. Wouldn't you think, Randy, maybe his tone went up from a... Wayne could come up here and play us a nice little tune, and then he could hit one of those boom, one of those earth-shattering tones. God commit, do not... Dying, you shall die. Dying's not good. That's not good. And then he said, it's not good that this man be alone. So who said that? God said that. It's not good that he be alone. I will make him a helper. A helpmeet for him. 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, fowl, brought them to Adam, see what he would name them. Adam called every living creature, that was, and whatever Adam called them, that's the name. Adam gave, on verse 20 here, he gave name to the cattle, to the fowl, to the beast. But for Adam, there was not found, see, God said, I'm going to send somebody to help you. See, he thinks like God. He says, that dog ain't going to do it. This is Adam. Because Adam named it, that ain't it. He kept naming, and he went through a lot of names, from A to Z. Whatever, and that was a Hebrew alphabet, whatever. But I'm just saying, Adam's naming everything, and he ain't found one that's suitable for him. Just don't, that ain't it. Giraffe, nope, that definitely ain't it. And 21, and the Lord, it says, it's time, you're tired, Adam. You've been doing a lot of work. I'm going to put you to sleep. And after he named everything, Wanda named all these things, put him to sleep, deep sleep, and he slept. And God took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh thereof, And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, a man with a womb, formed her, but she was different than Adam. And God brought her to the man. God brought her to the man. And then Adam said, he woke up just in time. He woke up and said, this is now bone. See, something was missing from Adam. And Adam felt it. He knew something in his body was missing. You ever felt something? You ever had something taken out of your body and it's missing? Or you're eating, it don't have to be from your body. You know something's missing when it's missing. If you had $100 in your wallet and you opened it up and it's gone, what? You felt something's missing. Because you know how many hours you worked to get that denomination, and you felt it missing. Hallelujah. Something's missing. Something's empty here. But Adam knew something's missing, and he said, "Now, and this is now bone of my bones." And now Adam is still, they're still perfect. I mean, they're still innocent here. He still thinks like God. He's got the spirit of God. He knows things past what he can see. Come on, I can't see a bone in Randy's in his body. But by faith, I know they're in there. Because somebody's opened up the flesh thereof. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about a doctor. But Jesus, God opened up the flesh and sewed it before a doctor was born. Amen. See, God sees things that we can't see. Hallelujah. He knows things that we can't know by our physical senses. See, you're not just... We had more than six senses. We had the seventh. We knew. We had a knowing, not by our physical eyes, but a heart knowing. That's God. Amen. I think I might have pushed too many buttons here. Let me go back to here. Bear with me. I didn't bring the mouse. I got the touchpad, and it's a little touchy this morning. Oh, whoa, wait a minute. That's chapter 2. Y'all won't go back that far, do we? And then God said, he told me, he said, of every tree you can freely eat. Wait a minute, I'm still letting my fingers do the walking. Chapter 2, verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day. We made it through that, didn't we? Let me come on down. Talked about that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You shall not eat, so you shall surely die. And then he created man. Adam gave him names. Let me get in the rib. And then Adam said in verse 23, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You got to understand, we talked about this. Adam was prophesying because he didn't have a father and mother in the flesh. So this was the son, when he got married, when they had children, they married. You got to leave your mother. You got to cleave to your wife now when that time comes. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. And then we get over to Genesis 3. All this has been great up until now, right? And then we hear about a talking snake. Here comes chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than the beast of the field which the Lord God had made. This is a snake. Walking on his hind legs. And he said to the woman, didn't say to Adam, said to the woman, has God said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Let me stop there. Is that what God said? Let me ask you, is that all God said? What was the first thing God said about that garden? You can eat of every tree. Am I right? We just read that. Adam saw all the trees grow up, and God said, Adam, you can of every tree you can eat of this garden except one. But the devil says, has God said that you can't eat of every tree? That was a lie. That was deception. But see, Eve wasn't out yet. She was relying on Adam, secondhand information, to tell me what God said. Experience. And when you get into the flesh, that's when you get in trouble. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Let me just run my little finger down here. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it. And she added to the word, and shall not touch of it. So either that's what she thought or that's what Adam told her. We can't only eat it, we can't even touch it. So that's not clear, but she got it added somehow, or she added it, that not only can we eat it, God said we can't touch it. God didn't say that. He said, don't even eat it. touching is getting, just getting a little bit closer. See, if you add to the word what you want the word to say, come on, follow me here a minute. If you add to the word, God didn't say that, Wayne. If you add to that word, God's accountable to his word. This will help you here. See, God's in control. Add this to your theology. God's in control of his word. Come on, say this. God's in control of his word. So if you say what God says, he'll control your life. He'll help you. But if you say something contrary and blame it on God, that's not the truth. See, because God's accountable to it. He's in control of his word, but he's not in control of you. He gave you free choice to choose life or death, blessing or cursing, after the fall. So that'll help you. Because if it's not good, it's not coming from God. If God was in control, he'd be responsible for all everybody that's died on this earth. And he's not. He's the author of life. Just keep it simple. Amen? God's in control of his word. And he keeps his word. He can't lie. He keeps covenant. I kind of lost where I was going, but that needed to be said. I'm not too lost. I got it highlighted where I'm at. But the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not see. See, Eve added to what God said, and then she touched it. And she said, well, I'm not dying. They didn't know what death was. But she didn't feel no different. Everything's okay, see, because she said that. But then when she ate it, she looked at Adam and said, you're naked. See, she didn't die physically, but she started looking at something to be ashamed of him. Come on. Now she lost her spirit. She lost God's spirit connection and said, you're naked. They were ashamed of their nakedness. That is what sin does. It makes you be ashamed of who God says you are. God clothed them with his glory. See, they're a flesh, but God breathed in his life. And now she's looking at something because now she's ate of this fruit. It ain't the fruit that made her see. It was the separation from the Spirit of God that made her see, you're not good anymore, Adam. That's the devil. Amen? See, she tested what she said, and nothing happened. But then she did what God said, don't do. And immediately their eyes were opened. Not their spiritual eyes. Their eyes were opened up here. See, up until then, she wasn't looking at Adam's body. See, Jackie loves you not because of your body. Randy, she loves you because you love Jesus. Amen? See, that love goes past what you can see. It goes past who you are. I love you. See, that's why if you're a Christian, you need to be looking for those. You need to be looking for love. Not in the wrong places, in the right places. In church, that's the right place to be looking for love if you're a Christian. Amen. Don't be going to the bars looking for love if you're a Christian. Because if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be hanging out in the bars unless you're witnessing. And you better not be in there long. You better go in there and tell them about Jesus and leave. And those that follow Jesus. Jesus went to the bars. They had bars, but he left. And those that heard and believed would follow him out of there. Come on. My daddy went to many bars. And I'll tell you right now, I was a little boy and I played pinball machine. He gave me quarters. And I saw nothing good going on. Amen. Nothing good going on. My daddy should have been home with his family singing and making music to the Lord because he could play a guitar. He sang a song called, There's a Family Bible on the Table, but he never read it. He never believed it. That's a song. You can look it up. It's a nice song. He sang. He could play it on a guitar, but he wasn't living it. The devil was destroying our lives. But God had a plan. He saw me preaching. He called me to preach. Even when I was in hell, living in that situation, God calls those things that be not as where I am right here now because of God. I am that I am because of the grace of God. And he can do that for anybody if you'll just listen and obey. Amen? And walk the way. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the truth. Amen? And in him there's life and everlasting life. In his right hand, in his left hand are wealth and riches, and in his right hand are pleasures forevermore. I might have it reversed. God's got good things in both of his hands for us. Wealth and riches and long life. You need both. Who wants to be the wealthiest man and live a short life and not see his kids experience it? Not me. I want both. Wayne said, I want it all. He don't want the 30 to 60 to 100. He wants it all. See, he heard from God when he prophesied when I asked that question. He knew the answer. He's a teacher. Amen. But I think he heard from the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord. Y'all feeling good? And we had to have some good times, even in the end times, and help bring others into these good times. Hallelujah. All they got to do is come to Jesus. So Eve tested the waters, and then Adam said, I think I'll have a bite. And then sin, because two of them agreed now we got death. Now we got, see, physical death came about 930 years later. Spiritual death, they were separated from good to know evil. And I want to go a little bit further before I speak a lot. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. I'm almost there. I'm on verse 3. I just got to get down to verse 7. And we're doing good. We're rolling. So here's the serpent said to the woman after she ate. She said, you shall not eat of it or touch it. Eve's talking to the snake. But the fruit of the tree, this is the woman speaking to the snake, which is in the midst of the garden. God hath said, you shall eat of it. She says, neither shall we eat of it. We shan't even touch it, lest we die. But the devil, through the snake, said unto the woman, you won't die. Bad news. If it's coming from the devil, it's bad. You don't need it. Don't even think about it. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be open. The exact opposite happened. Their eyes were closed from God. And they knew they didn't have no clothes on. They didn't know clothes before then. But what they knew was sin. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you're willing to pay. That's what sin does. It separates you from the blessings of God. Amen. It separates you, so don't mess with it. Don't even run from the very appearance of it. If it's tempting you, you know what I mean? Because you can get to a point where you can witness. It's not even a temptation. You can be a witness, but if you're feeling weak in that, don't think you can sit there and witness something that you're feeling a tug to indulge in it. You're not strong enough yet. You need to go, you know what I mean? If something's tempting you and you're trying to be a witness, you need to spend more time with Jesus and the Holy Ghost. You definitely need the Holy Ghost and power. Verse 6, and the woman saw the tree. So here we go. The devil says, you know, you're not going to die, but your eyes will be open and you shall be as gods. Come on, light bulb go. They were. They already were as God, right? They're the God family, created in God's image and his likeness, right? So he's deceiving them here. He's telling them something. He's telling them you're not something you already are. And you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. See, God, the devil saying, God's keeping something from you. Yeah, he was keeping evil from them. As a parent, do you like to keep evil, keep your kids from experiencing evil, things bad? That's a good parent. God knew this whole creature here, Lucifer, was going to turn into the devil, was going to be lifted up in pride, and God had to kick him out of heaven. He had to kick him out of his authority that God gave him. He knew this was going to happen. So when the woman saw that the tree, see, her spiritual eyes were closed. Now she's going by what she sees. Man, that tree, that thing has been deceiving us. That thing is good. See, her eyes changed. She focused her eyes on what God said. You should have your eyes on your husband, not on the world. Come on. See, as Christ, as his bride, we shouldn't be in love with the world. We should be in love with Jesus because we're his bride, the lust of the world. The woman saw the tree was good for food and then pleasant to her eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave it to her husband and he ate too. I think I preached this one time that I think Adam really loved that woman God gave him so much that she decided, Adam made a choice. He chose the woman over God and got things out of order. Come on, that'll preach right there. You've got to keep God first. Amen. And then the family, the husband and wife, will work. Doesn't mean we're going to all be on the same page. We're going to have our little disputes because of the curse. But if we keep God first, he'll help us. He'll tell us, zip it, Randy. Zip it, Robert. Don't say that. And if we say amen, we'll be blessed. Amen. We'll avoid something. And then verse 7, and the eyes of them were opened. And they knew that they were naked. See, here they're going to be. See, the Bible says, Jesus says, told us to, we don't walk by faith. But we walk by faith, not by sight. For the just live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Here, it went in reverse. They lost their faith. Now they had to walk by what they see. See, they lost that. They were disconnected. That's death. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked now. And they sewed fig leaves together, trying to cover this nakedness. And I'm going to go one more verse, because God will not leave you in that miry clay. Amen. In verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord. Oh, Jesus, his voice. Jesus, lover of my soul. We sing it. It needs to be your song. He's the lover of my soul. They heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hear sin brings in fear, shame, and they hid themselves from their Creator. Do you not know that broke God's, when I say broke his heart, he was coming for fellowship. He knew what they had done, but God still came. He said, love covers all sin. Love was still coming for his man. And they heard the voice of the God walking in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. See, they lost their joy. They lost their strength. Because in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. Being ashamed is not from God. It's not a spirit of God. It's the curse. They hid themselves among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam. Notice he didn't call Eve. He called Adam. He's calling to both of them. Adam, where art thou? And here is the voice. We see after the fall and after being born again, we'll hear through the New Testament, fear not, fear not. The first thing that comes in is fear. See, fear is from the devil. It's sin. So when their eyes were opened, I want us to focus on now that what happened, they were separated. They spiritually died. Doesn't mean they weren't going to exist somewhere. They were just going to be separated from God's spirit. That voice, they were afraid of it now. Instead of it brought comfort, it brought fear. Not from God. It was from the enemy now. They were separated from God. God is good. Separation from God equals evil. Knowledge of it. You understand? See, evil didn't exist before God. Darkness didn't exist before light. He is the light. God separated the light from the darkness. See, when you separate yourself from God, you experience darkness. You experience death. It doesn't mean you don't exist. You are just separated from all that is good. You want to have good days in the last days? God hasn't changed. He's still good, and he is still out to bless his people. He gave us his best. He died for us. He gave us Jesus so that we could still and have his everlasting life. Amen. He was a substitute. God is good, period. And he's got a plan. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. That's God. Jesus is good. Jesus is God. Jesus is love. And healing. Healing comes from something good. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil / the evil. He's evil. The devil's evil. There's no good in him. There's no life in him. There's no truth in him. For God was with Jesus. As you read through the Gospels, and we're coming to a conclusion here. I feel like I just got started. But as you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, can you think of anywhere where Jesus said, I love you? Just personally say, Peter, I love you. No. Jesus is God. He is love. God is and always will be good. So if you want to show people God, love, do them good. That's who he is. Faith worketh by love. Your faith won't work if you're operating, if you're in strife, if the devil gets you in strife. You can be a hypocritical. You can say it is, but it ain't. You can act like it is, but it ain't. Just be truthful with God. Repent. Say, Lord, forgive me. I got in a mess here. I'm talking about the Christians. Because your heart will condemn you. And the devil will, and that means the devil will condemn you. God says we're still good. That's the way he created us. And then he gave us his goodness again through Christ Jesus. So see, there really is no cold. And I work with refrigerators. And I know that stuff's cold in the freezer. But cold is just the absence of heat. My body, well, my spirit, whether I go by the grave or Jesus, I hear that trumpet. When my spirit, if I go by the grave, my spirit and soul, I tell them, Father, I'm ready to go. I'm done. I finished my race, run my course. I'm ready to go. Send the chariot. Lord, take me up, Lord. And my spirit and soul leave. My body falls over. You know what? It's going to be cold. Why? There's no more heat in it. Amen. There's no more life in it. It's just cold dead. Because this ain't me. You're just looking at something that's holding me. Amen. Darkness is the absence of light. Evil is the absence of good, or you can say, God. Some people might say, well, there's not a God. You're just deceived. There is a God. Well, I know I'm going to make it because the Bible says if the whole gospel's got to be preached before the end comes, nobody's going to stand before Jesus and say, you never sent me a preacher. The Bible says in Romans, the heavens, even the heavens declare there's a God. It talks about all nature. We have this intuitive knowledge on the inside. Why? You came from God. You can look at the birds. You can look at everything that Adam named and know that there's a God and deny. The whole creation cries out there's a God. And all you got to do, like Paul, say, Lord. And that'll say, if you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. If you call and confess there's a Lord, that brings salvation. That brings you to God. But that ain't it. That's just the beginning. You need to spend some time. Now you get back to the fellowship. So you get to relationship, and then you get back to the fellowship. And that's when God speaks to you and reveals things, these mysteries to you, that the world can't understand. I like this. The curse is the absence of the blessing. See, a lot of people want to say, well, God's doing this. No, if you just go to God, the curse will leave you. You ain't got to pray down all these generational curses. You need to believe in a generational blessing. Amen. Forget about, you know what I mean? That curse has no, Jesus destroyed that. He became the curse. He took sin. He took sickness so that you don't have to take it anymore. Amen. Enough is enough. Decree it and declare it. Amen. We're going to eradicate poverty in Jesus' name. In this body, in this community, And we'll just start with the Riviera family. Amen. We'll just believe, double for their trouble, and look out. Here comes more. I'm talking about more blessing. God's going to increase us more and more. Wayne, you can come on up here. I'm going to close this thing down. Man, I still got half a battery. But it's time to plug it up. Let it recharge till the next sermon. Amen. And that's going to be Reed Robinson. The Blaze is coming back from Mississippi. That's his nickname if you ain't been here for our visitor day. Our associate pastor is Reed Robinson, nicknamed The Blaze. Might even run a newspaper after him. You might never know, Miss Tammy. The Blaze. Why do you say that? Because the Riviera's daughter saw in the spiritual realm and saw fire, saw some of them on fire, but they saw the pastor ablaze, Pastor Reed ablaze. Amen? A child shall lead them, the Bible says. I just believe it by faith. I believe the children are going to hear God and see God and do great. They're going to see things. They're going to know things. So mom and daddy, granddaddies, mom, we need to be listening to these kids. And don't just brush them off. Listen. Be still and listen. The Bible says a child shall lead them. Amen. I remember Kelsey when she was maybe 6 or 7, filled with the Holy Ghost. See, you ain't got to understand it. Just believe it. But we came home one day. Come in and sunny day like it would be in summertime, you know, clear blue sky. Next thing you know, some old thunder clouds coming up. Kelsey come in. She walked through our living room to the dining room and went out on the deck and said, Mama, Daddy. I might not say this exactly. Y'all see this snow out here on the ground? I mean, like, my gosh, she's been watching too much Barney. There's snow out here on the ground. 5 or 10 minutes later, a big old thunder boom, it starts hailing, and it looks like snow after the storm got done. You know, from that day on, I started listening. When Kelsey see something that wasn't there, I said, oh, Jesus. Because we don't need snow in the summertime. That means it's hailing. That means a thunderstorm. That means the principality and power of the air is trying to do something bad. So listen to these kids. Listen to these dreams when they write things down. Because that's the Spirit of God. They're creating God's image and His likeness. And they're innocent. All of them, they really don't know all the good and evil. See, that's the innocence of children. That's why we got to teach them the good. Don't get so focused maybe on all these bully stories we hear. And that's not good. But you teach them to be good. And they'll stand before Goliath and throw the word at them. Throw love at them. Amen? Because see, the word, the Spirit and the word, you know, David's got a rock in there, but he loves God. See, the word, you got to love. Faith without love is, you ain't going to do no good. You're just a sounding, you're just making a lot of noise. But David loved God. And he had to face an evil Goliath who hated God. You know, God's will for that giant was to live, but he defied the armies of living of God. He was bringing a curse. And God said, that can't happen. And God took him down. But he needed a David. He needed somebody that loved God and was ready to stand up for God and face that giant. Said, you're not going to curse my people. See, we got to stand up and face cancer in the name of Jesus out of people. See, it's not the people that's bad. It's that old devil that's in there. That's got their minds blinded to the truth, which can bring sickness, bring oppression, bring grief. Come on. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We're in the new covenant. Principalities and powers and all the rulers of darkness that we can't see with our eyes, but we can know it by the word of God. Amen. God's going to reveal things to us in these last days. We're going to have good times in the end times. But you got to believe. You got to believe God is good. These is end times. It's time to shine for Jesus. Time to turn your 30-watt to a 60, up to a 100-watt bulb and be a light for, be a LED for Jesus. We done went past that to LEDs. Illumination. Amen. Let God arise. Shine the light on the darkness. Amen. Pastor, can we pray for you? Thank you, Jesus. You ain't got to get up. I thank you for coming. Jesus said, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you're going to be filled. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for touching my brother right now, Lord, touching him in spirit, soul, and body, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for filling him, Father God, and not only just filling him, overflowing him to others, Father, that, Lord, mothers were created for others, and he had a blessed mother, and, Lord, he's going to be a blessing to others. So we just thank you, Holy Spirit, for filling him and empowering him, Lord, with that good news of the gospel, that the devil brings bad news, but we got good news. Devil, you're a liar, and Jesus is on. And this brother, give me your name again. Harley. Arnold is on fire for Jesus. On fire for Jesus. Hallelujah. Go out there and destroy the works of the devil. Anybody need prayer this morning? Specific prayer? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Went and seen Bootsy the other day and just took her a big old chocolate milkshake. Why'd you do that, Pastor? You got to know your people. I was a little bit further from Wendy's. Her and Maudie used to go get Frosties at Wendy's. They'd leave church and go have them one of them little mini Frosties. I don't know if it was chocolate or vanilla. But I like chocolate. So I said, I'm going to take Bootsy a big old. I took Frankie and Elaine. I took four of them. I had me one too. And she ate the whole thing. She got done before I did. She knocked that milkshake out, and then we prayed. I took a bottle of oil. I just didn't know in her head. She's been having issues with her fingers, nerves, feeling weird. Pastor Reed prayed, and I just agreed, and I just took the thing. I just anointed all of her hands, all of her fingers. And Jesus said, he'll raise her up. So, Father, we thank you for raising Bootsy up. Amen. For your anointing, Lord, destroying dead nerves coming alive, whatever's going on. Jesus, we just thank you right now, Lord. I'm not the healer, but you are. And we just do what your word says. You said to go anoint with oil, pray the prayer of faith, and the Lord shall save the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and you raise her up. And Father, we just lift up Tim Sutton and his ministry, Lord. I know they're out in Gastonia, going out to the community, Lord. And we just thank you for Tim being on fire with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for souls being saved, coming into the kingdom. And Lord, for the Holy Spirit, Lord, just bringing revival in that area, Lord. For revival fire coming through there, Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we lift up Dale. Lord, when Dale's missing, Lord, we're missing Dale. So, Father, we just lift him up. We call him blessed. We call him what you call him, blessed. Above only and not beneath, the head and not the tail. We call him whole, well, and complete in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We give the word. We send the word. And the word brings life. And that more abundantly.
Thank you for joining us today at Word of Faith Worship Center. I pray God's grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then according to Romans 10, 8 through 10, the word is nigh unto thee, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord, and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. We would ask you today to simply say, yes, I believe this, and I say yes to Jesus. Now, if you just received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we would encourage you to get into a good church. Our church is located at 757 Harris Street, Northwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28025. And you can also find us on the internet at wordoffaithworshipcenter.org or wofwc.org. We hope to see you soon. Blessings.